working with those who have not yet entered into a contract to try to reach some resolution, some agreement. And so I have done what I have told them I will do, and that's it. Just be aware, Tooele County has just entered into a contract with Carpel. There was a general announcement. I don't know who all got it. It was forwarded to me. So now Uinta and Tooele are on Carpel.
As of July.
Right. Thank you. Yeah. So that's the overview of what happened in terms of funding for a case management system. We just did it the wrong year, I think. Is that maybe a fair assessment, Paul, with HB 348 and the expenses associated with it?
Yeah, I'm just trying to look and see what where we are. Yeah, and generally speaking, yes, because we're trying to count into incentive grants for the counties, into treatment, etc. They just pulled seed money from everywhere that they could find,
right,
including CCJJ, who just voted to put another $1 million out of JAG funding into the county incentive grant. So that gives us $3 million instead of two, which, yeah, still what it is. But
right.
But that's the idea.
Okay. So if go ahead, Jeff. Sorry.
Let's continue going.
Do we know who else has entered into a contract with another vendor? Has anybody else jumped? What's Salt Lake status, Paul or Kelly?
Kelly?
Is your RFP out yet?
On what? On the
case management?
Case management. It's going out. We haven't got it's still in the process. Because I think they were waiting a little bit to see what happened in the legislature and stuff, but my understanding is it's moving forward.
So if we're serious about trying to have a single program, or at least the majority of the state in the single program, those that want to. I mean, I would think that what we would need to do is get UAC and UMAA together, because instead of the front man, and they do some type of an interlocal agreement where they let somebody be a front person or appoint somebody or have one person for each one of those. If we wanted to do a statewide type of bid, unless the AG's office wanted to be the front for it. And
well, in my understanding, when we met with I went up to Layton and met with Steve and Gary and Roger
too.
And I didn't know this before, is that once the AG's office makes a purchase, if it's the same system that other people can use, is that we can come in under a state contract. But
that would still be the individual, and you still wouldn't get the benefit of
size. So, I mean, that's the final
be of the AG's side.
Correct. So we just have to decide if we're serious, if we want to do this jointly. It obviously it would be a little bit cumbersome, or if we just want everybody to try to follow the Utah County model, where there's one and the municipalities can join it if they'd like to. I don't know what people's thoughts are, how they want to pursue that. I mean, I know we're not representative of those entities here, as you know, as far as
I don't mean to throw negative into this, but I think it's a big mistake that we're fracturing.
Yeah.
I think PIMS was a great, great idea. We felt we didn't have a choice. My staff was kind of getting frustrated, and they wanted to move on. But I don't like the direction we're going. But I'm not sure I have a solution.
Yeah.
Seems like every time somebody else does a contract, there's less chance that we're going to find a statewide solution.
Well, and then we're going to end up like you guys. What was that Palantir that everybody had to go with now, so that you guys could communicate, which is hugely expensive. Very expensive.
Let me just add too. The Sixth Amendment has done a study, and it's a draft. We're looking at that. One of the issues that they have has to do with the centralization of pulling information together, and that may force, it may put some more pressure on to have a single system that works statewide to help pull some information together.
That's a mistake we made. If we would have had Pew be the lead on this, we would have got it. Sorry.
So whatever God you pray to or Lucky Charms, get out.
More money in the 348 than this whole thing would have cost.
Yeah.
Really?
No.
Wow.
So rub your lucky rabbit's foot, you know, that we could get some grant money, because I think that's a very valid point, is if we could get some grant money and then go to the legislature next year, you know, and then in light of what Kelly, I had forgotten that that I emailed Kelly and said, wouldn't it be ironic if we jump in bed with the public and others who need to tap into this same kind of information to, you know, we, it would obviously be firewall, but you know, joining in, so we'll
is
keep working the issue.
Would anybody be offended if I contacted UAC and the league and said, see what the consensus is of your group and see if they want to do anything together, or is that, are we too far down the road the other way?
Well, UX, our UCDAA group, basically.
Yeah.
But we're meeting tonight if you wanted to come.
I can't think of a better way. Planning Commission went till 10 last night. Meeting with you guys tonight, I would just be thrilled.
I mean, but I think we'd be on board, right?
We're having dinner, Steve.
Would I get dinner?
You get dinner.
Steve, I don't think anybody, our group would be in favor of that. I don't see any objection from our group.
Okay. Yeah, I think the only objection you're going to find is people are going to be concerned about the amount of money that their counties are going to have to put out if they've purchased the one everybody's not going to go with.
Well, obviously.
That's the concern.
Sure, and the concern, and they don't have to worry about that because they don't have to buy it. And I mean, they'll find out the price before they sign on the line is right. Where they want to do it.
No, that's the only, that'd be the only concern with the county.
Okay, well then I wouldn't have to be there since all y'all are going to be there. Then you can say,
we can discuss it tonight.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
and then
it turns
I'll...
out that it's that here's a proposal, and everybody that wants to come in or can get their city or county to budget that can come and get it at this cost. Great. If we're saying everybody's committing to put this money on the line to do it, that's going to be a harder thing for counties and cities.
Oh, sure. All right. And then I'll approach the league and see if they'll send out their next. Oh, they just met 2 weeks ago. Huh. Anyway. Okay. All right. Sorry.
No, thank you. Okay, moving on then to the offense table.
Hey, Bob.
Yes.
Can I interject before you go? Mm-hmm. I got to leave. I spoke with Phil Bates at DTS. The only time they charge for a bid is when they're tasked with designing an engineering system, because they got to contract it with an engineer. But for this, they're not going to charge us.
Okay, it's just that every time I've called them lately, just to talk to them about an issue, they've charged us.
Yeah, they should not.
Okay, well, that's what I thought too, but they have.
Write down that. Write down that name, Ron. Who did you talk to?
Phil Bates.
Phil Bates.
I know Phil Bates.
He spoke to the project manager over at PIMS. Okay.
So they shouldn't charge us for a bid. That's great.
Thanks.
Anything for DPS?
No, just, yeah. I was going to say, I shouldn't say no, other than just, you know, I think we've got on Post's webpage, regional legislative, we just want to make sure that that's up there. And then, Paul?
Just before Scott leaves, I was noticing on the budget, it looked like we hadn't spent anything on the Leo J program. Is that right?
We haven't done one yet this year.
Well, in the fiscal year, we did one last November.
Right.
And did we?
Did you not submit a bill for that? We didn't get it.
Did not submit a bill for that.
Oh.
We haven't seen a bill.
I didn't even hear about it.
Yeah.
Dang it.
I know that the notices went out. See? But that's another issue.
See, DPS had us covered on that. You just
okay. In November.
I was looking for it.
Maybe okay, not. That was in November. It was the 19th and the 21st. Now we're thinking about having. I was just talking to Alex Garcia about scheduling one in June, which would be the 10th through the 12th, which would also be in the same calendar year. So if it's already budgeted, if it's budgeted and the mm-hmm. money's there, is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
But we're not, so we're not.
Yeah. No, I mean
causing a problem.
Yeah.
It is budgeted for two sessions.
Yes.
Well, yeah, we've already done the one in November.
Yes.
And then we have it budgeted still for one more during the fiscal year, which means that we probably better do it in June.
Okay.
10th through the 12th. The CJC is the 8th to the 10th, right?
Yes.
That's
how many?
That's when he's got the range.
Yeah. How many students can you take at a time?
20.
Only 20.
I want in.
That is a great course.
There's been a lot of improvements to the program. And
oh, right. Yeah. Anybody who wasn't aware of that, SWAT put out some money and bought 20 Glocks. Glock Model 17s, along with holsters, magazine carriers, and that kind of thing. the whole program became twice as effective.
Okay.
From doing it, both from the safety standpoint, which was a real relief for several of us, and as far as the training was concerned, you have to gear to the slowest common denominator in programs. And if you've got somebody fighting their equipment, it's just horrible. But since we had everybody on the same stuff and there's Glock 17, it's easy to shoot, it worked out just wonderfully. The training was so much better. And of course, that training translates into any private firearm on the body, which, if they got any sense, won't get one just like it. So that was a total success. And frankly, everybody got pretty enthused. And Scott and his crew put together an all-star cast of instructors. They're handpicked for extreme patience.
And confidentiality, right?
Yes.
Condition
of total anonymity for the students.
You might be able to do cross-examination, but my gosh. Keep him off the range.
So, anyway, that's where we are.
Okay.
If we can do that, then we'll just go ahead with that one.
So, will you put the word out, or do you want us to put something on webpage? Do you want me to send something out?
We will put it out the same way. And
okay.
The way we do that is we give you the information, you send out the email to everybody.
Right.
We save 10 spots for judges, and then give it to prosecutors and judges at the same time. Judges are slower on it, but they really raise a ruckus, and then they put in their own share also. And then we keep those spots open for an extra week for the judges. And then after that, if any of those are still open, then we put more prosecutors. We have a little waiting list for prosecutors. And that's all handled by post.
Okay. Cool.
Except, of course, for Steve Foote, who will be put in.
Yeah, we only have 9 prosecutor spots left.
I appreciate that.
Anything else?
I think we're good. Thanks.
Thank you.
And if it was relevant when we started it, it's about 10 times more relevant these days.
That's right.
Right. Okay. Then, moving on to the offense table, as it was discussed last time, Mark had committed that UPC would continue to update the offense table. You know, we'll continue to do that for as long as PIMS is supported. But the issue is what are we doing, or what are those who have actually gone to another case management system, what are you doing in terms of your offense table? Have you guys even gotten to that point, Jeff?
We talked to Mark, and he said that we could just copy it. That's kind of what we relied on.
Okay. So, I mean, you got there. You know, it's my strong opinion that is it our responsibility to update the offense table for a third-party vendor? Because it takes a lot of Ed's time. And if that was the agreement, then we'll do that.
Well, I think as long as we're doing it for PIMS, I don't have a problem giving them access.
Mm-hmm.
But once PIMS is no longer, then what's going to happen then at that point?
Well, I would argue we're not doing it for a vendor. We're doing it for the prosecutor offices, no matter what vendor they're on.
Seriously, who do we want doing that?
Well, no, I mean, but that...
We're doing it for the courts.
Yeah, you're the best...
Jeff, when you say you copy it, is it literally a cut and paste?
Sorry, we haven't got that far yet.
Okay. Does anybody know that?
Typically what they do is they take the file, like Washington County, the file I create for PIMS, the PIMS automatically uses to update. I mean, not automatically, but I mean it updates it behind your back without you having to do any manual work. Like Washington County just has been, they just download that from our website and then they convert it to use it how they need to for their system. And then they do all the work of doing that. We haven't done any extra work.
Okay.
But they did take good benefit from the fact that we got the update available. So I'm not sure that's a problem, but that's what happened.
Yeah, that should be you'd think that'd be a quarter of a legislative function.
Well, and that's what Ed and I talked about, is we're wondering is do we...
The problem is before the court is doing their own.
Right.
The court does do their own.
Yeah.
But we don't like what the court does with their own.
They're concerned about sections and subsections. We're concerned about sections and subsections and content of the charging language, the elements.
Right.
There's a
The courts never do charging language because they don't care about that, from what I understand. They don't,
right.
Their system, they don't care about, they don't even store charging language or have any way to do it. That's the different, big difference right there. The biggest difference that I see between the two.
Yeah, they're simply worried about assigning a number that meets their system requirements.
Isn't this a service we're just going to be stuck with no matter what?
I think it might be, because I think the prosecutors are the ones who want to do it. In my opinion, we want it done, right, so that we can use it. If we can't use it, then what are we going to have to use?
If we're stuck with what they give us, which we kind of had to fight with them before to get there, I don't know how to give that up.
Yeah. No. Wait, so, Ed, I mean, can you address this as you, 10% of your time is given to UPC. So between what you give to UPC plus the offense table, are you exceeding your 10%?
I don't know the figure right now, but for this year, but every year I have.
So I mean, that's the concern, is if we get audited,
right,
then it's going to show that, you know, that Ed's not in compliance with his grant. So I don't know what is the answer that, well, we had talked about maybe approaching the legislative staff, you know, as they're drafting the new bills and whatever, do we pass this on to them and explain, look, you know,
well,
we've got to help us out?
It's not in their statute.
And they don't have the expertise to do it. I mean, you have to be a prosecutor for a couple of years to know how to do it.
In fact, some of the problems that we faced in the past has been where the legislative council drafts an offense, they put the elements language in a subsection, the level of offense language in another section, and further down, they put a level offense language if there's a further qualifier. And so there's, because of that, you're literally, if you're charging the further qualifier subsection, you're charging an offense that contains no elements. It's just a penalty subsection. So
that happens regularly.
Yes.
Ed finds it. We spent an hour this morning on one that got bollocked up on leaving the scene of an accident that I'll talk about in the SWAT board meeting. But.
Okay. Well, in when I was drafting this,
that's where these mistakes get caught.
Yeah. So when I wrote strong, bold, italics, underlined, I had just been dealing with Sean Moser, so maybe I had forgotten, lost sight that, you know, that this is for prosecutors and we need to keep doing that. And you know, for now we'll continue to do it, and then it may just be that we cut down on what Ed does for UPC outside of offense table.
I know that in the past we had tried to use law clerks to do as much as they could in oversight, but that's just one of those things that we'll have to adjust how we have to.
So this is a good place to say, regarding the Title 41 Pew study amendments down, they're all done. We're good to go on May 12th. Also the Title 72. Offenses like too wide a load and all that. So it's going to be a go on May 12th. The Title 64 stuff is all taken care of, and those I think were July effective days, and then the October effective days, the drug stuff, I have till October to do that, which should be obviously very easy.
Yeah, it's done a good job trying to
working
long hours to get that done.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well then we will just continue to do what we do, and then, like we said, when PIMS goes away, then I guess we'll have to decide what we want to do. I mean, okay. Training committee.
Thank you. We had our meeting up in Ogden last month, and we were able to fill in the conferences that are coming up. We're set on everything, so we're not gapped on anything. I guess the big item, not big, but the item for this group today is that recommendations for the locations for the fall conference next year. Since we were north this year, we generally go south. And first place was Moab, and second place was St. George?
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, and second place was St. George. So that would be the training committee's recommendation as far as fall of next year. Everything else, like you said, is set. We're ready to go. You've got some additional notes in here. We had a great exchange. We're going to try to do some different things as far as breakouts or a different line of interest to try to bring more people to the conferences. just kind of a broader perspective on some of the things. We're also going to try to do, and we've been talking about this for a long time, is, you know, just have some, you know, doing the webinars where you could link in and, you know, while you're at your desk over lunch hour or something like that, we could just have a specific topic, whether it be a suppression issue, a search and seizure issue, or whatever. And so we're trying to look into some of those things where we can provide some additional training without it being just locked into the conferences, and also knowing that the conferences right now max out UPC staff time-wise. Anyway.
Also, Marilyn and I brought some information to the training committee. Have some new sites, new venues around the state that are opening up. Have you seen the new Vernal? Have you been down to Vernal to see their new training civic center, conference center?
Me?
Yeah.
I haven't been there recently. I tried to stay away from Vernal. Competition. I spend my money in Duchesne County.
There you go. Well, during the session, I was up on the Hill when it was the Travel and Tourism Day, and so on the rotunda floor, they just had over a dozen vendor booths, or not vendor booths, but county booths. And so I went around to each one, and Vernal's is brand new. It looks really nice. When we're out doing the regional trainings, we'll take a look at that. Apparently in Castledale, there's some kind of a conference, or they had the capabilities maybe for a smaller conference, and their travel and tourism lady said that if we came there, gave her a list, she would make sure that every attendee had a swag bag and they could arrange to go out and do some shooting, have a Dutch oven dinner. So there are some more options, I think, than we originally knew. So just be aware that we may be going to new, undiscovered territory. So, okay, let's see. Oh, Rich, the only other thing then, under the training committee, you know, Janice McCann is from the AG's office came and brought some really good ideas. She's a member of the state bar, or she's a bar commissioner, excuse me, and just brought some good input. Rich Hamp is the new Salt Lake DA training coordinator, and he and I have had several discussions, and he's anxious to work with UPC as much as possible. One thing I didn't mention is about the Viridian Center that's out in West Jordan.
Say that again.
The Viridian Center for the White Collar Crime?
Right, so it's
okay, yeah, new. It looks beautiful as well, and because we're going to co-sponsor it with Salt Lake County, we're going to get that location for free. So Rich has been a really good resource. UPAA, Chris.
Okay, well, we're really excited about our conference. It's June 24th through the 26th in St. George, and the agenda's all set. We just encourage all of you to send your support staff to the conference. I think it's going to be really good this year.
Brochures will be out in the next 2 weeks.
Okay. Resource prosecutors. We'll skip Donna's report for just a second. Ed, anything else you want? Well, you've got quite a bit.
Right now, there's an 18% to 23% rejection rate of biological samples from toxicology lab testing. So it's like 1 in 5. When we found this out, we put in for a NHTSA NAPC mini grant. Got it. It's only $4,000. With that, we put together a training video with the Tox Lab, UHP, myself, and the Highway Safety Office. It teaches law enforcement how to properly package and label evidence. We go through some slides after that of commonly made mistakes. We have created exemplar boxes, which literally we leave a box with the agency of properly packaged evidence of every kind that's possible to be submitted to the Tox Lab. And then there's a bit of a legal update that I give at the end. And we've been taking it around since about February. I was in Rich County in Littleton yesterday, and all around the state, and the response has been great. I mean, I've never seen law enforcement more interactive and responsive right out of the chute. Literally one of them was pulling one of these boxes out of my hand to bring it back to Summit County. So that's what is new in my report. You can read the other stuff. The one thing I'll say is, you know about this Lexi May has moved to Colorado issue, so we're working on that substitute toxicologist. Just so everybody here knows, Utah Umori, another toxicologist, has given notice. Today is last day. So the Tox Lab, even if we do get favorable case law from the Court of Appeals on the substitute toxicology issue post-bill coming to New Mexico, we still, the tox lab won't be able to meet the demand for substitute toxicologists. So I don't know what to tell or suggest to prosecutors is, you know, start dealing DUIs where there's where Lexi or Utah did the sample testing. I mean, I don't know what the other options are.
Why can't we just subpoena them anyway?
Well, I suppose that you could.
But they're not a state
anymore. You want to serve them in Colorado or?
It's just a funding issue.
Yeah. You could subpoena them. I mean, Utah's going to, and that's his first name, Utah. He's going to be in the state. So. Anyway, I mean, what do you suggest? I just found this out this morning and got the issue quantified.
Can they meet some of the demand?
Well, that's what I was wondering.
I mean, is there a way to prioritize? I mean, are
like a felony?
Or is it just every single case that these two toxicologists have worked on are now? Because, I mean, defense attorneys are going to get wind of that if they're getting dealt. That'll last for about 3 months, and then all of a sudden they're going to say, we're not taking a deal on that. Yeah. We're going to trial, and then it's dismissals for everybody.
Yep. So I thought about prioritizing for subpoena and for felony.
Each jurisdiction gets 5 a year. I don't know. Whatever you want to do. Is there a way that you could say that?
That's a lot of jurisdictions.
I know. I'm just throwing stuff out there because eventually, if you start dealing these, it's going to be around the defense bar, and then it's going to turn into
all of us this afternoon. ACDL will know about it. All right. I'll take that back to the
car.
Suggestions with it.
All right, then in terms of Donna's report, you've got it there. I just want to highlight a couple things, just so you're aware, is number four down there in her summary is she and Detective Boardman were invited down to the Crime Against Women Conference in Dallas and spoke. Channel 4, Kim Fisher, I guess this based on the way that the newscast was presented, but is a victim of sexual violence herself. But she was able to persuade her producers to let her go down with the camera crew and film Don and Justin while they were presenting at the conference. Got some, you know, really good feedback on that. Donna just came back from another national conference that was in New Orleans. She did a presentation that was very well received. They applied for a grant to attend the same conference to be held in D.C. next year. And their grant was approved like within just immediately as they felt that there was such a need for this type of training. So Don and Justin Boardman will be in DC this time next year, all expenses paid presenting. The next phase that they're moving into is, you know, prosecutors have always been invited to attend the informed trauma response, but that's, you know, where they're starting to focus now is, you know, we realize that when cops are doing their job, it makes it easier for prosecutors to do their job. But they recognize that there's that need to get all the prosecutors trained, so we'll be seeing that. And she applied for, and her protocol was copyrighted, so if you ever see a copy of it now, it'll have the UPC's copyright symbol. So she wanted to make sure we got that done before she went to Dallas, because she was sharing that, and just wanted to make sure that Utah was receiving the appropriate response or recognition. You can see all the people she's trained. I mean, she is just doing really great things. So unless there's any questions for Ed or about Donna, then let me move into UPAC number 12. So UPAC is the Utah Prosecutor Policy Advisory Committee. This is our best practices committee here in the state. Mark Thomas is going to talk to you guys about it tonight, so I don't want to go into a lot of detail. Other than just to let you know that we met 2 weeks, no, has it been a little over a week ago. The executive members you can see there, because we needed somebody to get this ball rolling, I just said, okay, I'll be the chair in a non-voting capacity and sought recommendations for members. You can see who the members are because we want to get the buy-in from the county attorneys and the city attorneys. They decided that we wanted to invite the chair, the president chair-elect, the current chair, as well as post. I don't know if they'll invite you to join us, Jeff, but to sit on that committee from UCDA and from UNPIC, just so that we're getting that buy-in. There are four issues that they want to focus on right now. Brady Giglio, body cameras, officer-involved shootings, and then ethics. We're meeting again.